Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 2, we were taught, regardless what a man thinks, God will repay him for his sin. Listen closely as we pick up there today. For the Bible stands. And we remember of Romans chapter 12, verse 19, where we read, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." God will repay, my friend. So just be aware that no man finally gets away with it. They are the worthies of verse 5, where it says, "He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof and the defense that shall be prepared." Oh no, now those worthies, they're gone. They were gallant and powerful, but now they're gone. And so it will be with a man who gains the whole world, but loses his own soul. In Mark chapter 8, verses 36 to 38, we read these words of Jesus. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In other words, spend eternity in a lake of fire where there's no escape, there's no ceasing to exist, tormented day and night forever and ever. And Jesus goes on to say, "For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever." Now, whosoever means whosoever. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me," that is of Jesus, "and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, my friend, you and I, we live in a very adulterous, sinful, wicked generation. We see it in America. I cannot tell this on radio. I don't think I would even say it out loud in church. I don't think so. I would probably say this only to men, kind of a one-on-one kind of a thing. But we find out about children in the homes, and half the time their parents aren't even married, and half the time it's a different man, different woman from year to year. But we find out that they witness some of the most vile things sexually and in other ways. I remember in our church having a bus day where we were going to honor all the bus parents. And some of them came, and I went by and visited some of those homes of parents that had come. And as I was walking in this one home, it's a double-wide mobile home. It was a nice home. I wouldn't put them down for the home they lived in. It's really a nice one. And the father met me at the door, and he said, "Oh, come on in." After I introduced myself, "Remember, I'm the pastor. You visit my church Sunday." And "Oh, yeah. So I'd like to talk to y'all for a few minutes." But I could, "Yeah, come on in." I walked in. He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down, and in front of me was a huge, huge TV screen. Now, at that time, it's probably one of the biggest TV screens I've seen inside a house ever. And I sat down. He says, "Let me go out here. I'll get my wife, and And the kids are right here, and you can see them. Well, there's about three children. I think there's one was under five, and probably the other two were under eight. Maybe one of them was older than eight. I'm not sure, but when he walked out, then I kind of saw the kids playing. I didn't want to interrupt them. I looked up the TV screen and had no real idea until that moment. They were watching pornographic stuff on their television in front of their kids in that room. And I mean, pornography as one would think of pornography. I was boiling inside instantly. I was mad. The mother came back out with them and saw what was on the television, and she looked at her husband and said, "What's the matter with you? That's the preacher. Why do you have that on? You should have turned that off when the preacher come in." Now, her children, these three children are seeing this, but she thinks it should be turned off because the preacher walked in. Now, I did witness, and not much happened. I think it was on me that time. I think I was so angry inside that even though I witnessed the gospel, I don't think I did a good job as I perhaps could have done. And I walked out there and I realized those poor kids. But that's the story of children throughout this country, my friend, and around the world. And it's only getting worse. We live in a sinful and adulterous generation. I have preached on homosexuality, the sin of homosexual marriage and homosexuality itself, the sin of adultery, living together without marriage and things of that nature, extramarital affairs. I mean, I've preached on those sins besides drunkenness. We still, preachers, if you're out there listening today, we still need to hit the alcohol crowd. It's still sin. But we preach about these various sins. And I've had people tell me, "Preacher, you can't preach on those things because those people aren't going to want to be saved if you preach on that. Oh, you're going to hurt their feelings if you preach on it." And they've said all the reasons why you shouldn't preach on that. But none of them are biblical. Now, I admit, they got mad at Jesus in John chapter 7 because he testified to their works that they were evil. And he used a plural there to show that he was being very specific of each work. You read through the New Testament, read Romans chapter 1, written to a church, word for word. Read verses 18 through 33, and you'll see that, boy, he hit some very vicious things, bad sins, vile sins. I look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, where he talks about idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. He talks about drunkards. Talks about the revelers, those that social drink and party. And he hit it and he says, "Such were some of you." God saved them. Now, those people had to know those were sins for God to save them. They need to know they're a sinner and that in God's sight, they were facing hell. And God, wherever these guys went, John the Baptist, he told Herod, "It's unlawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife." Nathan went into David and said, "Thou art the man," after his sin with Bathsheba. So, say what they want to about modern culture and what you can do and you can't do. The Bible has it right. God had it right. And just like Nineveh thought they couldn't be destroyed, and the world thought they couldn't be destroyed, but God did it. And my friend, God still uses the preaching of his word. Now, you preachers just get on it and don't worry about what that person that's gave so much money for so long a time. Don't worry what they think or do. God can take their money from them, by the way, but God can supply your need without them. We went through a period where we had a group of people who were upset with me and they left the church and they went out and I thought, boy, we are going to really be hurting financially. And I wasn't going to change, but I thought we was going to be hurting financially. You know what? Giving increased after they left, and made me wonder, did they even tithe? Now, they probably did. I don't know who tithes and who doesn't, to be quite honest with you. But I'm just saying, that's what happened. So again, when we think of these things, this is a wicked and adulterous generation. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of his word. Speak up. Now, should we name sin? Yes. But should we also tell them that Jesus Christ can save them from those sins, forgive them, cleanse them, and save them from the penalty as well as the power of those sins? Oh, yes. Yes. And we should. And so, you don't want the Lord to be ashamed of you. Even if you're saved, you know, the 1 John 2:28 lets us know that some people will be ashamed at his appearing. Christians, saved so as by fire. Perhaps you have done some high-end shopping for the riches, the cares, and the pleasures of this life. And not what we call excessive evil things, but they are just things. And they take us from God. They take us from the Lord and his church and his word. Those things are not important, an important part of our life. They're only a convenience now. Instead of being in God's house and serving the Lord day and night for the rest of your lives is only on a convenience, and it's not your life, so to speak. Now listen. God doesn't call everyone to be a preacher, doesn't call everyone to be a foreign missionary, doesn't call everyone to be a Christian teacher in a local Christian school. He calls people to be carpenters, be mechanics, to work in industry, to work in grocery stores, I mean retail, wholesale, technology. I mean, we could go all, name all these different things, politics. God ordains for people to be in those things. Why? If you're saved, he has you there to be a light for him. And if you're not a light, those people may not hear anything of the gospel of Christ. That's why you're in that job. Try to be the best one on the job in your work so that you have people that will listen to your testimony on those breaks or after work or at dinner or something like that. But don't pass up being a witness and a representative of Jesus Christ where you work. You were sent as a light in the world, and it's just as important you be a light there as it is for the preacher in your pulpit to preach the word of God. So make sure that you do what you're supposed to do. What happens when people attain so much? And there's nothing wrong with having a lot. I mean, Abraham and Lot were Job were two very rich men and probably the best Christians of their day.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.